Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today we're talking about the issues surrounding human trafficking, forced labour, the sex industry and other shocking forms of exploitation and modern day slavery. So what are the police doing about it and what can the Catholic community do to help? Well, to explore this further, we're joined by Detective Inspector Kevin Hyland from the Metropolitan Police Special Crime Directorate. Now, when we think of human trafficking, we tend to think about the sex industry, saunas and brothels in Manchester, Liverpool, London, Birmingham. That's not just the picture, though, is it? Although it's a key element.
Yes, that's right. One of the key elements is the sex industry and the trafficking for that. But there's also trafficking for forced labour and domestic servitude. And whilst they do occur in the cities, they also happen throughout the UK and sometimes in the most rural places.
Give me a few examples of exactly what you're dealing with in your division.
The trafficking for forced labour, we may deal with cases where people are brought in from abroad by organised criminal networks and they're forced to go out and commit crimes. Some of these people are very often coming here expecting to work in good jobs. But when they get here, they're told that they or their family may be subject to violence if they don't do as they're told. Also, then we have cases of domestic servitude where people come over, very often expecting to work in a domestic household. But once they get here, they are then forced to work extremely long hours, maybe asked to look after more children than they expected, often made to sleep on a floor, not properly fed, and abused sometimes sexually. And again, we have issues more rurally where people may be forced to work in agricultural or fisheries, in exploitative conduct, in as much as they may live in substandard accommodation, may be made to work extremely long hours, may be paid very low sums of money, if paid at all, and given little or no food. So all of those are forms of trafficking and really amount to what is now known as modern day slavery.
Now, on the gangmaster, the forced labour side of things, whether you're in rural Norfolk or you're in London, it's not actually too uncommon, is it, to see white vans pulling up at maybe 7:30 in the morning and a load of people gathering perhaps by a bus stop or nearby, jumping in and, you know, the van's in a poor state of repair. So it's obvious something's going on, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, very often people being met in those circumstances may be going to work in legitimate circumstances. But if you see a situation where the van is in very poor state of disrepair, people are getting into the back of a vehicle that perhaps hasn't got seats, the people look very run down and worn out. You may see them going at a very early hour of the morning and coming back quite late. You may realise that very many of them live in a two-bedroom house and there could be as many as, you know, 15, 20 people living in what is a two-bedroom house. There's a quick turnover of people. Those are issues that could amount to trafficking, that people are being brought into the UK and forced to work in circumstances that are abusive.
And obviously, with the criminal elements that are doing the trafficking, they want people that are off the record, don't they? That aren't in the system, so to speak.
That's absolutely right. And some of those may come from within the EU, but they may come from areas that are quite poor. The people that they traffic may be vulnerable in as much as that they may have, some of them may have mental health issues, some may have drugs and alcohol dependencies, and some may have learning difficulties. So there's a whole range of people that they may seek to recruit. And again, of course, some people that they recruit may be actually just people who come here genuinely looking for work. But once they get here and are subject to violence, coercion and alike, then just give in to what they're being asked to do.
And going back to the sex trafficking for that industry, give us some idea of the scale of that problem. What sort of numbers are we talking about here?
Some research conducted last year, which was verified by the Home Office and the Association of Chief Police Officers, estimated that we can confidently say that there are 2,600 women trafficked into the UK for sexual exploitation. That is in the open market. So that is what can be seen as in through local papers or advertised on websites. That doesn't include the hidden market, which are those that are there for just specific clients or from advertising foreign newspapers and so forth.
Now, in a sec, we'll come on to what the Catholic community can do to help in terms of awareness and in terms of action. But first of all, tell me exactly how you in the Metropolitan Police, your area, how are you tackling the problem?
We've got a specific unit, which is the Trafficking and Prostitution Unit, which is dedicated to investigating trafficking offences across all forms of trafficking. We pride ourselves on being victim-centred. That is that the support of the victim and the rescue of a victim is the most important part of the work we do. Of course, we want to mount a prosecution against those who are responsible for the trafficking, but it's the welfare of the victim that comes first. And we will put that as a priority. So if we get a phone call saying there's a traffic victim in a premises, everything else stops until that victim is recovered. We have good networks with a number of charities, with a number of support agencies, and in particular some support agencies that have been set up in local parishes in London to support trafficked victims. Once we identify a victim, we will put them into what is called the national referral mechanism, which means they'll be given safe accommodation, they'll be given psychological help, and they'll be given the welfare that they need. Then we, whether it's covertly or through more traditional means, will then look at identifying, arresting and prosecuting those who are responsible for trafficking. At the current time, we've got numerous investigations going on, involving investigations in not just the UK, but many investigations internationally as well, so in many countries. But our important thing is, even victims, when they decide to go home, that we put measures in place that they are supported when they return to their own country. So in many of the countries where they originate from, we have got support agencies there who work with us as well, so they're not re-trafficked and not re-exploited. A good example of that would be in Lithuania, where we work very closely with Caritas. So any victim that returns to Lithuania will be met at the airport by Caritas and supported through their rehabilitation.
Well, you mentioned parishes there, and let's take a quick look at that. I mean, we've talked about the sort of the way that people that are trafficked into the UK get locked into that situation, and you, those that are taking control of them are keen to keep it that way and keep them under wraps, as it were. How do we as parishioners, how do we recognise those signs? How could we perhaps identify those when they're being kept from us?
Sometimes it's very difficult because the whole idea is to keep them from us. But if, for example, you see somebody who is in a house who is a foreign national, you know, could come from South America, could come from Southeast Asia, could come from Eastern Europe, and that person has no freedom, and you realise that the only time they go out is to put the rubbish out, or they're always controlled, then there's normally something wrong there. You've got an option there to contact the authorities. You've got the option there to put intelligence into the police, whether that's through Crime Stoppers, whether it's through your local safer neighbourhood teams. So the police can then just do a very low-key check to see if that person's okay. There's also the options that that are there that, you know, you could offer them. If it's appropriate, you could offer them support, although we're very careful that you shouldn't be approaching people because it could be taken wrong, or you could be putting yourself at risk. But there's a lot of options that are available, and identifying it in the first place is the issue that is being missed. So within parishes, there's that of identification first, and then it's around the support that is available. There's a lot of support facilities that are actually in law in place in the UK. So it's about knowing that they exist. And that could be a phone call to the police, and then that would fall in place, because there are measures within what's called the National Referral Mechanism and the Council of Europe, which puts in law the support that has to be put in place for trafficked victims. So it's about being aware of those processes.
In your experience, do people have, and I don't mean Catholics or anyone else, but do people in general have a reticence? Do they worry about, you know, pimps being around the corner or gangmasters watching on? So if you did find yourself in the situation where you could speak to someone or even make an attempt to help them, is there that reticence, that difficulty in approaching?
Of course, and people have to be aware of that, that they shouldn't put themselves at risk. And sometimes, you know, if a trafficked person is seen speaking to other people, the controllers might see that as an issue. However, there are circumstances where the trafficked person, for example, some who are in domestic servitude may be forced to take the children to school very often. So whilst they're at school, there is obviously an opportunity to speak to them there. and offer them the support.
And we can be vigilant. We can actually watch this. We can see patterns of behaviour where perhaps they're not interacting where other mums taking kids to school or dads taking kids to school would be talking. So you can see it, can't you?
Absolutely. And of course, these traffic victims, not just in domestic servitude or forced labour, but across the board, may be more likely to speak to somebody who's not in authority, because there is very often a distrust of authoritarian people, in particular police, because the countries they come from may have a different position to us, particularly in relation to policing.
And obviously, as Catholics, we should have a heart for human rights and for supporting the vulnerable. Is there an issue here of those that are, perhaps they have managed to extricate themselves from sexual slavery or from slave labour of any description, where, you know, their psychology is broken, they're in a very, very difficult position, needing to rehabilitate, if you were. Do you see that as a strength of the church, to be able to offer that community around that person?
I think that is one of the great strengths of the church, that, you know, people will feel they're going into an environment where they're not being judged. I think those that have been trafficked and those that I have met that have been trafficked, they lose their complete identity. They lose their way in life. The whole process is to make actually for them to sell their human rights. So that process is a very long process and sometimes can take many, many months, many years for them to actually regain their own identity and the strength to actually recover. And that goes back to what I was saying about our victim centres process, is that it's about that person recovering. And we have actually had victims of trafficking who have taken 2 years in order to be able to tell us as the police what their experience was. And when they get to that point, very many of them are very willing and do want a prosecution to follow.
Now, it's a difficult question, and I know it's very hard, but can you sort of give us an illustration of what we're talking about here, a sort of individual's situation and what they went through?
Certainly, in the sexual exploitation, I can give you an example where a young woman was trafficked from Lithuania. She was brought to the UK by what she believed was her boyfriend, brought to London for what she thought would be a good weekend to see the sights of London. When she arrived here, she was quickly passed on to another man who she was told would look after her. He moved her to the north of England. And she was told then that if she didn't sell sex for him, she would be subject to violence and her family back in Lithuania would be actually killed. She gave in to his demands and started selling sex. But after a short while, she was no more use to him. So he brought her down to London and sold her for £3,000. She was then sold on to another gang and so carried on the story until she managed to escape. She was actually forced to have sex with at least 20 men a day. And I'm talking about every day that she was here. She did actually have a child as a result of one of the encounters that she had. And the success around this story is that she's now doing very well and is actually fully recovered. And those responsible for trafficking her went to prison for a very long time.
Well, obviously, you're here at the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, and you're discussing how we can cooperate with you, with the Met Police, about raising this awareness and actually getting involved in the action. Tell me a little bit about how that's going, how that relationship is building.
Yes, I've been working with the Bishops' Conference so that the Catholic Church of England and Wales can form a strategy in how it's going to respond to trafficking and the issues that it can actually deal with. That's going to be a preventative element, education and support element. But the Bishops' Conference is very keen that this should be an international aspect, in as much as that they can influence and actually have an impact in the countries of origin. So that would have a massive impact on the prevention side of trafficking, which is obviously the best situation.
And we talk about countries of origin, but also if you think of the cultural diversity of the Catholic communities, even in England and Wales, we're talking Catholics from many different parts of the world, aren't we?
Absolutely. And by us engaging as law enforcement with that community and with the support and partnership of the Catholic Church, we can obviously learn from the knowledge we may gain from people who are in the Catholic community.
I believe in London, towards the end of May, 30th of May, there'll be a helpline to phone if you have information. Do you have that number?
I do. The number is 0800 783 2589. And that line is going to be a helpline which will go through directly to specialist trafficking officers during the day, the office hours of 9 to 5. And they will be able to offer advice to people who feel that they need support around trafficking. But more importantly, if people feel that they want to get out of trafficking, if they phone that number, we will put the processes in place to support them and to rescue them. It doesn't mean that they have to follow a prosecution. And also, we would like members of the public, if they see things that they think may be trafficking, slavery or exploitation, that they should phone in on that number, and they can pass the information either anonymously, or if they do want to give their details, that's their choice. But we would like people to phone that number so that we can actually, again, identify victims and get people out of this abusive and coercive experience.
Now, I know that you wouldn't dissuade people that have a story to report from outside of London, but give us the Crime Stoppers number in case people are more familiar with that.
Yeah, thank you. The Crime Stoppers number is 0800 555 111. What I would say to anybody is, if you believe somebody is at risk and suffering violence, or if you yourself need help quickly, then always dial 999. Remember that if you are a victim of crime or a victim of trafficking, it's your welfare that will be dealt with first.
Detective Inspector Kevin Hyland there of the Metropolitan Police. A reminder of those numbers again. The London helpline direct to specialist officers is 0800 783 2589. And bear in mind that number will be available from the 31st of May 2011. The Crime Stoppers number is 0800 555 111, 0800 555 111. And finally, if you or someone you've seen or come into contact with needs help urgently, do please call 999. For the very latest from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, log on to www.catholicchurch.org.uk.